city trial in Southwark Crown Court the day before yesterday, Rolf Harris was branded by the prosecuting counsel as a Jekyll and Hyde character. The prosecuting QC said, "This behind this charming and amicable children's entertainer lay a man who exploited those children." And the image of the confident, charming exterior, which camouflages a very, very dark side to people, has so marked many trials in the recent months. Young people these days are given a lot of encouragement to be self-confident. Perhaps it is the cornerstone of the educational gospel. And it is great to see young people so full of self-belief, to see them acting as if nothing was impossible. But obviously carried too far, self-confidence can lead to arrogance, to believing that you are always right. In Rolf Harris's case, it led to his believing himself, as the QC said, believing himself untouchable because of his celebrity and popularity. In the gospel we've just listened to, Jesus invites us to make him the source of our security. He is suggesting that we place our trust not altogether in our own powers, but also in him. And the promise is that those who enter life through him will be safe. Anyone who enters through me will be safe. I am the gate. To try to trust in Jesus to that extent is not easy. We have all been taught to some extent to be self-reliant, to stand on our own two feet, not to rely on others. But that kind of trust in the end must leave us relying almost altogether on ourselves, and in some instances putting self and self-security before the needs of others. And that in turn leaves us alone in our struggles. And when things go badly wrong, open to severe loss of confidence and full of blame, blame of ourselves, blame for others. You can't go back and change things that you have done in this life, Rolf Harris said on Friday, adding, I wish to God that I could. If Jesus becomes the gate of life for us, we will obviously never get into the state of arrogance where we feel we are untouchable. We will never despair, no matter what we have done wrong, because the Good Shepherd will always be there to rescue us. His job is to look to the safety of those who rely on him and do it completely. So perhaps today we need each of us to tell Jesus that we want to give our lives into his hands. To tell him today, and then relax and let him be your guide. Open yourself to him and to his love. And that idea of giving our life to Jesus is very well described in this book by one of the great spiritual leaders of our time. I'll read a bit of it for you. He says, you are very concerned with making the right choices about your work. You have so many options that you are constantly overwhelmed by the question, what should I do and what should I not do? You are asked to respond to many concrete needs. There are people to visit, people to receive, people to simply be with. There are issues that beg for attention. But what of all this truly deserves your time and your attention? And he suggests that we start by not allowing people to and issues to possess us. As long as you think you need them to be yourself, you are not really free. You have to keep going back to the source of life, God's love for you. In many ways, he continues, you still want to set your own agenda. You act as if you have to choose among many things, which all seem equally important. But you have not fully surrendered yourself to God's guidance. You keep fighting with God over who is in control. And finally, he gives this advice. Try to give your agenda to God. Keep saying, your will be done, not mine. Let God tell you where to go, what to do, when and how to respond. God does not want you to destroy yourself. Exhaustion, burnout, and depression are not signs that you are doing God's will. God is gentle and loving. God desires to give you a deep sense of safety in his love. And once you have allowed yourself to experience that love fully, you will be better able to discern who you are being sent to in God's name. Finally, it is not easy to give your agenda to God. But the more you do so, the more clock time becomes God's time. And God's time is always the fullness of time.